The Arch by David Baldwin.
I don't know. Am I insane? Was it from the past? Was it the distant future? I mean, all of it was real, so real. It can't have been an illusion, though. There wasn't any particular event that started it. No bright flash of light, no trumpet sound. It seemed totally unremarkable at first.
Yes, but what happened?
I know that you're now saying that you're confused, that you've started to doubt reality. You know precisely when you changed. So there must be a point where the change occurred. But what were you doing at that time?
Well, I suppose you could say that the change began with a certain event, but it then took a further 3 or 4 weeks to complete. That is, if it is complete. When it began, I was doing nothing out of the ordinary. I was sitting in a coffee shop.
A coffee shop?
Yeah. Yeah, a small cafe. I'd been doing my weekly shop at Sainsbury's. I'd put my stuff in the boot of the car, just getting in to drive away, and it occurred to me to try the new coffee shop opposite the supermarket.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. A large cappuccino, please. Well, this is nice. I notice I've doubled your number of customers. How's business?
Oh, quite promising. It's a bit early for most people. We only opened yesterday, so it'll take time, I guess.
Well, it certainly looks nice. I like the way you've left the bare brickwork. Yeah, stylish.
Nice, isn't it? Better than that old bike shop. There we are. One cappuccino.
Thank you. My God, when I think of the time I spent under these arches as a lad. When I was at the Gordon School over the road, we used to often come over to these arches to play during the lunch break. When a train went overhead, we always just scream at the top of our voices. Yeah. Even when it was pouring with rain, we could kick a ball here to our heart's content without getting wet. Yeah, looking back at those times. Always seemed to be raining at lunch times.
Most people seem to remember wall-to-wall sunshine when they were kids.
Yeah. Yeah, strange, isn't it? My childhood, it always seemed to be raining.
Oh, that's very sad. Were you an unhappy child?
No, not at all. I was perhaps a bit more of a dreamer than some, but I wouldn't say that I was unhappy.
A dreamer?
Yeah. Never very attentive at school. My mind always seemed to be elsewhere. I suppose I lived quite a big part of my childhood in a world of fantasy.
What were your fantasies about?
The usual schoolboy things, I guess. Being a superhero. Being the best boxer, footballer, soldier, mountaineer. Being king.
King?
Yeah, the usual powerful characters.
Sounds as if you lacked self-confidence.
Yeah, thank you, Sigmund Freud. No, that was the sort of stuff that all the boys' comic books were based on in those days. I suppose it's mostly sci-fi now. Yeah, but Baldy Hogan, the brains of the team, was a top hero then.
Baldy Hogan? That doesn't sound very glamorous. You wanted to be him?
No, I didn't want to be anyone specifically. Just seemed to be able to slip into any number of characters to suit the occasion. Useful, I suppose, but not a very productive way to spend your school days.
Well, you obviously had a vivid imagination.
I guess so. Yeah, seems strange to be here. In a way, it's all that's left of my school days. Yeah, when they pulled the school down to make a car park, I thought that was the end, but Just sitting here, I can feel a connection. I thought it'd been lost forever.
Well, that must have been many years ago.
Yeah. About 60 years ago, in fact. Yes. Yes, it seemed like yesterday. Listen.
To what?
Listen. Can't you hear it? It's getting closer.
What is? Are you all right?
Well, that must have frightened the life out of her.
Yeah, I think he thought I was some sort of lunatic. Strange thing is that was so unlike me. Normally the sort of bloke who doesn't want to be noticed. I explained to her that the whole environment there was very powerful, and that it was triggering a flashback to my youth. She understood, and we had a laugh about it. Nice. A friendly lady with a remarkable resemblance to Miss Weston, the art teacher at the Gordon School. Yes, just being in that place took me back 60 years.
I can understand that. There are certain sights, sounds and smells that are a powerful reminder of places and of events from years past. I'm not sure what it is that triggers my recall of the very first place that I worked 60 years ago. It still happens after all these years. It takes me by surprise and transports me. Just for a moment, a big open office. All of the clerks are there, though in reality they'll all be long dead.
Yes, yeah. I know precisely what you mean. But the big difference between those brief episodes and my recent experience lies in your phrase, just for a moment. This wasn't just a passing sensation. If that feeling of somehow belonging had lasted just for a moment, then it'd hardly be worth mentioning, but I was there. 60 years dropped away, and I was there. That experience lingers and still dominates my life.
Oh, come on. That's a bit melodramatic, isn't it? You revisited a place which was a reminder of your distant past. A place which had a powerful influence on you as a child. Your imagination is reading all sorts of significance into the event.
Yes. If only it was as simple as that. If it had ended there, I might have hardly remembered it. But it didn't end there. The power of that sensation was enormous, undeniable. During the next few days, I felt drawn back to that place. It's as if that railway arch was calling me, drawing me back to the simplicity and safety of my school days.
So you chose to go back?
Oh, I went back. There was no question of choice. I had no choice, I don't know that now. I had resisted the temptation to go back for a week, but then, on a Tuesday afternoon, on my way back from the dentist, I passed the cafe where someone called out to me.
Hello?
Me? Are you calling me?
Yes, I'm sorry to trouble you, but do I know you?
I really don't know. Do you?
I heard you talking to the lady in this cafe last week. I can understand what you did, because I feel the same. I wanted to talk to someone about it. Did you go to the Gordon School?
Yes, I did. You're not Smudger Smith, are you?
Yes, I am. Good God, that's 60 years ago. Oh, I wish I could say that I remember you.
Oh, it's good to see you again, Smudge. Yeah, I'm George Carter.
Lofty Carter? Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, we must talk.
Yes, of course. Let's have a cup of tea in the arch.
Yeah, where else?
So he'd seen you in the cafe a week before?
Yeah. He said that when I screamed, he had to literally bite his tongue to stop himself from joining in. You see, he feels just as I do. The only difference is that he's felt it for much longer. He became obsessed with the arch many years ago when it was home to a cycle shop. He got a job working at the shop and was able to indulge his obsession on a daily basis. When the shop changed hands 6 months ago, he'd applied for a job at the cafe, but without success. So he'd become an ever-present customer. Seeing me, he realised that his problem wasn't unique and he needed to talk to someone about it. Yeah, after about an hour, we were no closer to an explanation, but we both felt the comfort of knowing that we were not alone.
Okay, so two of you have experienced this nostalgia for a favourite playground of your youth. Talking about compulsion and dominating your life, it's a bit overdramatic, isn't it?
Well, if that was where it ended, I guess I'd agree with you. Although I find it difficult to separate that opening compulsion from the later events and the ultimate conclusion.
Ultimate conclusion? Now that's sounding really dramatic. What is this ultimate conclusion?
Yeah, or in good time, you have to hear the whole story in order to understand the ending.
The ending. Okay, so what next?
It was now 3 weeks since my first visit to the Arches. A smudger and I had met every morning at the cafe for 2 weeks. It was like a drug. We tried to stop, but found it impossible. On two or three occasions, we vowed to each other that we'd stay away for a day. But that resolve never held. When either of us broke our promise and went to the cafe, we'd find the other already there. We were totally unable to resist the place.
So you'd be there every day?
Yes.
All day?
No, it would have been easier to stay longer, but we limited ourselves to an hour each morning. Sadly, we'd then spend the rest of the day looking forward to our next visit. Our next fix of the arch. We were literally wishing our lives away.
Well, you mean that you no longer go there?
No, we don't. It all ended on a rainy Wednesday morning. Good morning.
Good morning, George. Your usual?
Yes, please, Anne. Dreadful weather.
Yes, certainly not good for business. Oh, your friend phoned about an hour ago. He said to phone him. I wrote his number down somewhere. Oh, yes, here it is. Have you got a mobile?
Yeah. Is he not coming in this morning, then?
He didn't say. He just said to phone him. He said it's urgent. Here's the number.
All right, thanks, Anne. Smudge, it's Lofty. You said to phone.
Yes. Are you in the cave?
Yes.
Get out now.
Why?
Don't argue. Just hang up now and get out.
But why can't...
Just do it now.
I have to go, Anne. Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Okay, George. Bye.
So what did you do?
Well, I left the cafe as quickly as I could. I walked down the road and went back to my car in the supermarket car park. I then redialed the number. It told me that the number was unavailable. I thought I must have misdialed, so I tried again, entering the number with great care, but no. The number was unavailable. I sat for a while considering what to do next. I decided to go back to the cafe and speak again with Anne, the lady behind the counter. It was as I got out of my car that I heard the siren of an ambulance or police car. Then as I walked back towards the cafe, there were more sirens, and it became clear there'd been an accident of some sort. When I reached the cafe, there was a scene of total mayhem. Crowds of people had assembled, all gazing up at the carriage of a train hanging precariously on the edge of a vast hole in the viaduct above the cafe. The cafe itself had been totally destroyed by the collapsing viaduct and was now no more than a pile of smoking rubble. The police were erecting a cordon around the area, and firemen were on the viaduct beside the carriage, which mercifully appeared to be empty. More people were gathering to see this horrific scene, and the police were working to keep the road clear for emergency vehicles. I then made my way back to my car and drove home. By the evening, the incident had made the national news broadcasts, which declared that, miraculously, there were no casualties. I was relieved to know that Anne hadn't been a victim, but puzzled by Smudge's telephone message and his premonition of disaster.
I know what you mean now. At the bottom end of Station Road. And with the local newspapers carried photographs. Yes, it was a miracle that no one was hurt. But there was no cafe there. It was just a boarded up shop. As you said, it used to be a bike shop.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it used to be a bike shop. No one can remember it being anything else. I made some inquiries about Derek Smudger Smith through the Gordon School Old Boys Association. Thankfully, he wasn't a figment of my imagination. They confirmed he was in my class throughout our time at the school.
Can't they tell you how to get in touch with him?
They told me that, sadly, he died 4 years ago.
The Arch is a bare-bones theatre production with the following cast. George was played by Dave Baldwin. Alan by Howard Jones. Anne by Amanda Watkins. And Smudger Smith by Gordon Stewart. Incidental music is from Ginopody by Eric Sartain.